I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
America loves Mike Rowe, and when I had the opportunity last week to talk with this guy and say, can we get him on? We need a dose of what's going on with the American work ethic. Let's go to Mike Rowe and find out what shows he's involved in. He's always got two or three of them going on here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Mike Rowe, welcome back to Philadelphia. Boy, it's always great to have you, but particularly in the middle of what I think is one of our biggest crises with the American work ethic, et cetera. Mike, how are things going?
Well, I'll tell you, it's been a pretty weird year, Dom, but all things considered, in my little part of this waking fever dream, not so bad.
Good, good. What your guy sent several, but tell us, what's the main thrust of what you're doing right now, Mike? What's your main show?
Well, you know, it's really funny, man. I think at some point the tail started to wag the dog. By that, I mean, I always used to work on a bunch of shows, and then I have this foundation thing that I was always happy to talk about. But now after 13 years of talking about the foundation, that seems to be pulling the train. I mean, I've got somebody's got to do it, which is streaming now on PureFlix, which is kind of a big deal. Very excited. Dirty Jobs is coming back with new episodes. I've got this podcast that's like a barking dog in the backyard, so I'm, you know, really gratified to have it all going on. But the big thing for me now is MicroWorks. We just awarded another $1 million in work ethic scholarships, and we're trying to keep pushing this conversation forward as best we can about the war that I believe our country has declared on work and the ever-changing definition of a good job.
Wow, let's talk about that latter part there. Let's talk about the definition of a good job. You have talked, first of all, just one point that gives me a thrill every time. You were good enough. I'm writing a book about teachers that reach someone like a budding Mike Rowe. And I see you have that in your bio now that one of your PR guys sent me, Mike, that you were in a play and the drama teacher just said, this character never stutters or something like that. So you stopped any kind of stutter that you have. Now, that's great teaching. That's just a miracle. And it gave us Mike Rowe.
Well, that was basically my version of Mr. Holland. You know,
Yes. His
name was Fred King. He was actually a music teacher, but he was involved in the school play. And he knew I stammered, like, you know, full on Porky Pig stuff. And he forced me to audition and memorize a monologue. But I trusted the guy so much that when he told me just to do it without the stutter, I did. And yeah, that something clicked in my brain, and that was that. A good teacher, a good one, is still pound for pound the most transformative force in the country.
You mentioned definition of a good job. Do you mean everything has to be college-oriented and that's not enough anymore, master's degrees and everything else? That's it, versus other jobs that are very, very useful to society and fulfilling to people. What do you mean by that, Mike?
What I mean is there's a long list of things we cannot control in this country. We can't really control the skills gap or the minimum wage or the numbers of unemployment or currency devaluation or critical race theory or whatever it is you want to talk about. But we are in control of what we decide a good job is. And at the moment, our collective definition of what that means has left us with a workforce that's really very badly out of balance and a number of student loan dollars in the hole that's terrifying. We got $7.7 trillion in student loans on the books, and we have over 8 million open jobs right now. Decent jobs, many that'll take you straight to a six-figure salary in short order, and don't require a four-year degree. Those jobs are open, Dom. They're wide open. And small businesses from sea to shining sea are getting crushed. They're getting crushed because they simply can't recruit effectively in this environment.
You know, I would have you on if I were on Fox News every night, you know, a national platform, your own show, to flesh this out a little bit more. Who are the people, or who are the definers, Mike, the forces that are defining that? Is it big college and the like that's doing that, that we bought into this? Who is it?
Well, look, if there were a snappy answer to it, then there'd be a snappy solution to the problem. The biggest issue, I'm afraid, and yeah, big universities are charging outrageous amounts of tuition, but that's only because the market supports it. The market supports it because millions of parents in this country are convinced that if their kid doesn't get a four-year degree, they're going to wind up with some sort of vocational consolation prize, and they'll be seen as bad parents, and their kids will be miserable. Now, that's just not true. There are a lot of myths and misperceptions and stigmas and stereotypes that keep kids from looking into careers like welding, steam fitting, pipe fitting, heating, air conditioning, electric. The list goes on. But the real problem starts, I'm afraid, with misperceptions that a lot of parents hold, with guidance counselors who in many cases are compensated or bonused on their ability to get more kids in more classes to sign up for college, as opposed to, you know, going to a trade school or learning a skill that's in demand. So a lot of things are happening on the micro level that create and foster these stereotypes and stigmas. And to your point, a lot of things are happening on the macro level. We simply can't pay hundreds of millions, billions of dollars to people for sitting home. Look, I know that's controversial to say, and I'm not talking about people who are disabled or who are unable to care for themselves or who are living in a geographically unfriendly environment where there is no opportunity. I'm talking about able-bodied people who are surrounded by opportunity but who are being encouraged not to work. If you combine the prevailing stigmas and stereotypes that keep people out of these kinds of jobs with the reverse incentives that are currently in place, well, then you can explain the skills gap in about 5 seconds. I just came from speaking at the annual flooring symposium, which sounds crazy, but there were thousands of people there, all small business owners. They're hiring, Dom, they are literally hiring 180,000 people over the next 5 years if they can find them. Apprenticeship positions starting at $25 an hour. Right now, they can't find them.
Wow. You know, I knew it would be powerful having you on, but you just added, as I knew you would, because this is what you do and you're a thinker, elements to this that I didn't think about. I just thought, look, the disincentive is there, but you're right. If there's already a disincentive on the big picture to these jobs, and then you take away the monetary incentive and say, sit at home, it's going to be catastrophe. Any thoughts on the one that I see the most, and I think our listeners comment on, Mike, the restaurant industry? It really, really seems to be difficult there.
Well, I would say that almost any mom-and-pop business in the service world right now has a real struggle. And look, we can save the minimum wage conversation for another time, because the truth is it doesn't matter what the minimum wage is. It will always be the minimum. And in that world, it will always represent the bottom rung on the ladder. What we've done is we've declared war on the bottom rungs of the ladder. We've turned minimum wage jobs into careers, and we scream to the heavens when we look at what's being paid and say, well, that's not a living wage. Well, it's not supposed to be. You know, the restaurant industry is filled with opportunity that was never meant to be a career. It was meant to be a rung on a ladder. And if you knock those rungs off, it's going to be very difficult to climb. So, sure, I could talk at length about the restaurant industry because there's so many different positions in it, and there's so many hundreds of thousands of small restaurants who have just collapsed. But it's the same thing everywhere. It's the same forces at work. And In my world over at MicroWorks, we don't focus too hard on the restaurant industry because it is so inherently fickle. We focus on getting people trained for jobs that can't be outsourced, that can't be removed. I mean, robots are not going to be doing plumbing. they're not going to be doing steam fitting and welding. Sure, there's robotic welding,
right,
but a good welder who's willing to go where the jobs are today, I can give you 700 names who are making six figures a year right now. People just don't realize and understand it, and that's why the shortages in those areas are so criminal.
Without a doubt. Mike, you've been very generous with your time, but I want to just slow down for a moment. Tell us in detail, where do we go right now? Anything Mike Rowe associated? Upcoming shows, you said Dirty Jobs is coming back. You mentioned the foundation.
Dirty.
Go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, no, look, MikeRowe.com, if your listeners are interested, I'd be grateful. MikeRowe.org to apply for a work ethic scholarship. We just gave $1 million away earlier this month. We'll do it again somewhere soon down the road.
Can I interrupt, Mike, and ask you, how do you determine the winners? I love this idea. You know, with me, if a person has a tremendous work ethic, I have to admit, maybe it's a failing. I don't know about you. I forgive just about anything else. If somebody has that drive, we're going to do something else. If you want it hard enough and have that type of thing, we're going to find a way to be a big success. So how do you determine the work ethic scholarship? What did they have to exhibit?
Well, it's tough, you know, because it's very, very hard to gauge work ethic. But you've got to jump through some hoops. You know, we're not an academic scholarship fund. We're not artistic and we're not athletic. We look for people who want to show up early, stay late, take a bite of the crap sandwich if it comes around, volunteer for all the lousy jobs. We want people fundamentally who are interested in learning a skill that's in demand but doesn't require a four-year degree.
Okay.
How do you do that? You know, I ask for references. I ask for videotapes. I ask for an essay. You have to sign the sweat pledge. You got to do some things. But look, 138 people all just got about $8,000 apiece earlier this month. You know, 1,000 applied, and it was hard to whittle them down, but we do, and we'll do it again next year, and we'll continue to tell their stories, because in the end, Dom, it doesn't matter how generous you are with your time or how many shows I can go on to scream this from the mountaintop. You have to hear it from the people who are prospering directly as a result of learning a skill. And in my little world, I'm happy to report those people are out there.
I am so glad to hear that. The best thing probably is have people go to MikeRowe.com, I think, to see everything that you're doing. Any books on the horizon?
Yeah, I'm late. I got a deadline for another one. I'm working on it. The Somebody's Got to Do It show has been great. Now it's streaming on PureFlix, and people happily are digging that. So I'm very lucky, Dom. I've been super busy through the lockdown, through the quarantine, and my people and I are focused on getting the rock up the hill. But you know what? It's never one thing. You know, it's always this hot mess. It's a mosaic. It's a quilt. And for me, it all kind of ties together through the foundation. And I appreciate you giving me the chance to talk about it.
I am just so overjoyed every time we get you. By the way, your contribution to our big fundraising event did very, very well. Your doodle.
Oh, good.
It was very, very good. Thank you for doing that. Hey, you're talking to a guy whose wife's doodle outbid me, the big mouth. The listeners did that
hurts.
Just to put me back a few paces, yes.
You know they did. Of course
exactly.
They did. And that's as it should be.
Exactly. Mike Rowe, continued success. Anytime we can promote anything you're doing, that's what we'd love to do. Thank you, Mike, very much.
Thanks, brother. Be well.
All right, Mike Rowe here on Talk Radio 1210. Dan, I don't know, probably, you know, there are military heroes. There's other guys we've had on. But, well, there's one person in his class that I feel the same way, Dan. You can probably guess who that is. Who is it?
Lee
Greenwood.
Well,
we've had him. Yes. So last night, we went to this great restaurant. We used to go to it. They moved in Wildwood, Duffinetti's, right? Nice outside they built up. There's a kid. I love this kid as an entertainer. I almost got him to get him on because this guy had chutzpah. Dan, he was singing country. He was doing rockabilly stuff or whatever. And I'm loving that he tried to do all these things. He's up there with a white tie and a fedora on a little stage in an Italian restaurant, right? But then he tried to do the Greenwood song. And I said, that's it. Can't be done. Can't do it, kid. And when he got to the line, it was bad.
Yeah.
It was just bad.
Only one man should sing this song.
Yeah, only one man. I don't know what it is, the emotion, the trigger, the sense of timing. It's not just the voice. That's how I feel when we have a guy like Mike Rowe on, though. You just heard one of our greatest Americans, Mike Rowe. All right, he's finding optimism out there. I know it's a little hard to see that. You heard what he said, though. Even optimistic Mike Rowe, America's at war against the job, the work ethic. And who's doing that? Progressives. Goofy Joe Biden. That's where it's coming from. Maybe a Republican here and there, but that's where it's coming from. I'd love to get your reaction to Mike Rowe.
I love the idea of an anti-scholarship, essentially.
Yes,
you know, like,
that's right.
You work hard. You want to go into the trades. Here's a reward for your hard work.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, and Dan, now it's gotten that the college degree is just, you know, it has to be a master's or beyond.
Yep.
Otherwise, that's a big, and then people are spending themselves into oblivion. Remember, we were talking the other day, too, to J.D. Mullane about a similar thing. And come September, the student loan debt moratorium is over. I don't think they're going to extend it. Is Biden going to say we're going to take 20 grand off your student loan debt? No. He shouldn't. I think he will, though. The pressure is enormous. No. Pay it yourself. You made the decision. You and your parents. Got to live with it.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.